good to be here to worship the Lord together. We're going to sing a little chorus, "If you believe, you shall receive." The Lord didn't ask much of us, just that we believe Him, because He has all power. He does hear and answer prayer. Amen. We're going to sing this chorus. It's pretty easy to sing. So if you don't know it, it's in the chorus book somewhere, but just jump in where you can and sing unto the Lord. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or a care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you've got to do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or a care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you've got to do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe once more. If you believe, you shall receive. For there's not a trouble or a care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you've got to do is trust and pray. Believe that you must believe. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. We are in the process of going through the book of Mark in our Bible study. We're going to go all the way through the book of Mark. Not tonight, but eventually here we'll get through it. We're still in chapter 1. I just want to, I'll be praying here in a moment as we go into this. Well, I'll pray right now. Let's do that. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for Thy Word. We love Thy Word. And it is written, "Blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it." Now, Lord, help us to hear and to believe and to keep Thy Word and to do Thy will. Give us victory over all the powers of darkness and over all the evils of this world. O Lord, let Thy Word be alive in us. Draw us unto Thyself, O God. Let Thy perfect will be done, and let Thy name be exalted and praised. For there is none like unto Thee, the living God, King of kings and Lord of lords, and beside Thee there is no Savior. Lord, we go into these pages of Thy book, Thy holy book, and there we meet Thee, O Lord, in Thy Spirit. Let the power of the Holy Ghost sweep over our souls. Strengthen and sustain us, O God, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. And we know, O Lord, that Thou wilt help us. Let Satan be driven out. Let him have no power to interfere in any way. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm always excited about studying the Word of God. This has been a very, very difficult week for me. I wasn't anticipating everything that happened. I was going to mention, keep me in prayer. I had an incident happen on Monday. I actually stopped at, I was feeling wonderful. And then I stopped at Culver's restaurant up here for lunch. And about 20 minutes later, I became violently ill. And whatever was in there was some kind of poison. So, and I became immediately very, very, very sick. As the day went on, it got worse and worse. Monday night, I was up most of the night just trying to deal with the symptoms of this. I immediately recognized it as food poisoning. And so I didn't know what to do. The next day, I came into work. I worked most of the day on Tuesday, and of course, we had our wonderful friends here from West Virginia coming, and I needed to pick them up from the airport, and I just laid in bed not being able to even get up. So I prayed, had Shirley pray for me, and then I wondered what to do. There had to be something I could do, and I kept hearing this voice say, "Activated charcoal." It just activated charcoal. Of course, that's a universal antidote for poison. And so I took three of them. I had some at home. And about a half an hour later, I started feeling better. And we went down to the airport and got them. I didn't feel like I could eat anything, so I've had almost nothing ever since. And then we today I got up at about 5:30. Wouldn't you know it, I had an early dental appointment in Middleton, which is about an hour's drive, but on rush hour, it's an hour and a half. So I made it all the way over there. I was in the dentist chair for 3 hours, which is no fun at all. And made it through that okay, got home, and I was so beaten down and tired that I just laid down all afternoon, just prayed, talked to the Lord, and took some more activated charcoal. I knew I needed to be here tonight, and here I am. I'm actually doing pretty well right now. So I'm hoping by tomorrow that'll be all cleared up, but it definitely was some kind of a poison that hit me, without a doubt, because I was feeling great until right after that, about 20 minutes later, violently sick. So obviously you can trace it to that. But it made me realize, you know, we're out there on the internet and hitting a lot of people. We have millions of people that are reading the newsletter. We know that in 2007, we had nearly 2 million people log on to the website and read the newsletter. Nearly 2 million. We're very high profile out there. We're all over the world, and a lot of people are logging on, and of course they're listening to messages online. We send thousands of newsletters, discs, tapes out from this location, and so we're fairly high profile. And then we have other ministries that are reading the newsletter on air, and that's going shortwave all over the world. So they know we're here. And it made me realize more than ever now, I've really got to watch my back. In fact, I think I'm going to stay out of restaurants altogether and just use the kitchen at Faith House. And I think it'd be better for me anyway. But I get so busy in such a hurry, it's easy to just stop and get something, but no more. That's the end of that. The Lord's showing me that I need to really watch it, because there are people out there that I believe really would like to get me out of the way. So that's not paranoia, it's just reality. I've had it happen before. I've had different incidents and so forth. Because we are hitting pretty hard, especially with this Obama thing now. You know, this is really getting serious. There's a congressman from Georgia, Congressman Brown, who stated right out that Barack Obama is planning to be a dictator. We already know he's planning to use executive orders and literally run the country by a dictatorship. And the same congressman said that he is a Marxist and a communist. Now, I knew that, but it's interesting to have a congressman say it. So we're in for quite a ride here. And we did quite an expose on, with a recording that we did a week ago last Sunday called Profiles of an Antichrist. And that's on DVD. I don't know if there are any left in the entranceway there in one of those little boxes, but we can always make more. And it tells the whole story. So I've got a newsletter to start writing pretty soon. And just a lot of work to do for the Lord. So if you would keep me in prayer, I would appreciate that very much. About 20 minutes to 7, I got up and came over here by faith, strictly by faith, because I was still kind of lightheaded, and that's actually lifting now that I'm standing here with my Bible, because the Lord has always helped me. He's never failed me. There's been more and more times, that, you know, it was strictly by faith that I could do this. So, Arnie. You know, isn't that amazing? Isn't that something? A national holiday for Barack Obama. How come? What has he done? Nothing yet. We know so little about him, and what we do know is terrible. Yes, a national holiday. Just like Martin Luther King. Now I'll get some people mad at me about that. Who was a known communist. I've actually got photocopies of checks written to Martin Luther King by the Communist Party when he was still living, of course. But no doubt about it, the man was communist, but we've got streets named after him. We got a day on the calendar for him. Barack Obama is a little Hitler. You know, when I honestly believe the spirits that were in Hitler are now in Obama. And that's why those spirits took him back to Germany to return to the scene of the crime. And he stood there with a Nazi salute in Berlin, like this, arm extended, 45-degree angle, straight out, which is illegal in Germany. And tens of thousands of people responded with a salute, just like that. There's really, it's strange. On election night, 240 different countries were celebrating his victory. This was a global election. It wasn't just the United States. There's something very strange. Now Sarah Palin said she wants to work for him. And she's hoping that he will give her a position. You know, a lot of ministries have said, oh, Sarah Palin is of God, and you know, all this kind of thing. Because she went to the Assembly of God church and she stood up and made a little speech. And some went so far as to say Sarah Palin was another Esther, you know, to get in with the king, so to speak. And she's still trying to do it. Thank you. Okay. All right.
90% Muslim support or something.
Okay. American Muslims relieved, hopeful at Obama's election. Yeah, there's a lot of Islam going on out there. There's never been anything like this before in our country. Honestly, never has it been like this. So what we all need to do is get closer and closer to the Lord and get in His Word and respond to the love of God with obedience. Now, we're going to have a Bible study tonight, and I'm going to begin about where we left off. I usually back up just a few verses. I don't intend to preach, really, but to study the Word with you. And I love Bible studies. We learn so much. I do too. Every time I read the Bible, I learn a lot. I'm not teaching you from personal knowledge here. I'm teaching you from the Word of God. All right? Now, in Mark chapter 1, beginning now with the 29th verse, it says, "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her." They took that message to the Lord Jesus, Simon's wife's mother. His mother-in-law was sick. They told Jesus about it. And I mentioned last week, because we did cover that particular verse, now, how could Peter be the first pope? He had a mother-in-law. He had a wife. They say popes can't be married. We know a lot about that, though, don't we? So, in this case, Jesus heard about it. And it says, "And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them." Now, it amazes me how the Lord works. We know that by His stripes we are healed. We're all subject to having health problems, and we try to minimize that using wisdom and prayer. But sometimes things happen. But it amazes me how the Lord built into our body the healing mechanism. And our body knows how to heal itself if you help it along and don't continually pound it. All right? But sometimes the Lord will push the fast forward button, so to speak, and that healing will be speeded up, and it's instantaneous. In this case, it was. Immediately, the fever left her, and she rose up, and she ministered unto them. Praise the Lord. In other words, she served them what was, you know, necessary and took care of them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased. Apparently there were a lot of them. And them that were possessed with devils. Now, demon possession, devil possession is a very real thing. There are a lot of people out there right now that are full of devils. Where do the devils like to go first? They like to be in high places because they have a pride. Their master, Satan, was filled with pride. He was lifted up with pride, lifted up by his own beauty, it says in Ezekiel chapter 28. So, they like to be in high places. Washington, state capitals, any place where there is power exerted, that's where they like to be. They also like to be in churches. Does that surprise anybody? They like to be where they can get a lot of attention and do a dirty work, you might as well say, wherever, any trouble that they can cause. So yes, it's a very real thing. But our Lord does still cast out devils. Amen. You see, in the Old Testament, you never find devils being cast out. Never one example of it. But then when Jesus came to that day where he read the scripture in the synagogue from Isaiah, remember the acceptable year of the Lord? Since that day and from that day forward, demons were cast out. Did Paul do it? All right, and if you go into, well, actually, I understand what you're saying. The Lord Jesus did it, but did Paul, was Paul used in that ministry? Yes, he was. And see, you don't have the power on your own to do anything. It's the Lord Jesus who does it. But your ministry in serving God, in submitting yourself to the Spirit of the Lord, yes, devils are cast out. And the Lord does give you the authority through His name to work in that ministry. All of us as true Christians have the ability through Him and by His power to do that very thing. Amen. We shouldn't be intimidated by it. We should believe. And then the Lord will work. So, He was casting out these devils, healing the diseased, the sick. And verse 33 says, "And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases," divers meaning different, various types, "and cast out many devils." See, it's not a rare thing. If you walk down the street, there's a lot of people that you see that have evil spirits in them. If you see these televangelists stand up, like Benny Hinn, he is full of devils. Absolutely packed full of them. Kenneth Copeland, Rodney Howard Brown. After all, Kenneth Copeland is Antichrist. They didn't say the Antichrist, but he's Antichrist. There are many Antichrists. He actually made the statement that if he had lived back in the days of Jesus, he could have died for your sins. Can you imagine that? Kenneth Copeland thinks so highly of himself that he said he could have died for your sins. Hey, there's a problem there. I hope you can see it. But here it tells us in verse 34, "And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him." See, the evil spirits always try to attract attention to themselves. Remember the woman that with the spirit of the Vatican that was following Paul around? Now notice the Vatican. You might say it wasn't even there yet. The spirit of it was. Because the word Vatican, from the Latin, classical Latin word Vaticanus, means divination. You can find that right in the Catholic Encyclopedia. Divination is witchcraft. This woman had a spirit of divination. It tells us that. And the Apostle Paul, as he would walk on his way, she followed him and Silas, and she would cry out, "These men are of the Most High God, and do show thee the way of salvation." Well, there's a lot of Baptists would have said she was saved. Huh? "These men are of the Most High God, they do show you the way of salvation." And they were of God. They were showing the way of salvation, yes. But it's not for an evil spirit to bring that forth. They have no part in it. It was there. What was going on was to attract attention to that particular woman. And Paul, after a few days of that going on, turned to the Spirit, spoke to the Spirit that was in her, and told that Spirit to come out of her. And that Spirit came out the same hour. Didn't say it was instantaneous, but that within an hour, that thing was gone. Now, a lot of people would have said, well, she was a fortune teller. You know, she was like Jean Dixon or Jean Houston or one of these other soothsayers that the government uses and has used. Did you know that there are astrologers on government payroll? You know, they've got this little purple book, kind of a grape-colored book with all these jobs. And they told Obama he needs to select, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 people to fill these jobs. I wonder who he's going to pick to be the astrologers and so forth, because that they don't miss it. They use that. And some of them are pretty high pay grade. So this has been going on for a very, very long time. But the Apostle Paul did a very nice job for the Lord of binding those spirits and casting them out, that spirit of divination in particular. So this is something that is very real. It's no joke. It is happening. Okay? But Jesus would not allow these spirits to speak. They knew Him. They knew a lot. And it wasn't for them to say anything. When they were brought under the control of the Spirit of God, they had to be silent. And of course, that's the way of the Lord. He disables them from speaking. I know some people say, well, the Spirit told me this and the Spirit told me that. What a revelation. You don't want a revelation from the devil. Some of these people get into deliverance ministries. Oh, I know this because a spirit told me. Hey, I don't want anything to do with anything that a spirit tells me. I want to listen to the Spirit of God. But there are a lot of people that write these books about deliverance. Oh, and I, you know, the confrontation with a demon, and the demon told me this, and the demon told me that, and revealed this and that to me. You don't want that information. Jesus didn't suffer them to speak. So it's kind of a weird thing that they do. Now, verse 35 says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Isn't that wonderful? Our Savior prayed because He was both true God and true man. As true man, He prayed. As true God, He answered prayer. Remember? What a wonderful, glorious thing it was that the Lord Jesus was the one true God manifested, made known in the flesh. He was called what? Emmanuel, God with us. People saw Him as a human being, but it was God with us. The high and the lofty one that inhabits eternity. You know what? Barack Hussein Obama chose for a White House chief of staff a man named Rahm Emanuel. Rahm in the Hebrew means high and lofty one. Emmanuel means God with us. It gets worse all the time, doesn't it? It never ceases to amaze me. You know, the things that are happening are so clear when you know what to look for. Now, so he went to a solitary place and there he prayed. He prayed. Called upon the Spirit that fills the universe, the one true God, and Simon, and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. A lot of people were trying to find him. But we have to ask ourselves, for what reason? We understand that Jesus was speaking to a large crowd of people one time, and he said, the flesh profits nothing. The Spirit giveth life. And because of some of the things that Jesus said, the Bible tells us that all men forsook him except for his disciples. Yes, there were crowds. He fed 5,000 at one point. And he said, because I fed you by a miracle, now you want to follow me. That's not the reason to follow me. Come on. Why are people interested in following God if it isn't because of His love, His salvation? If it isn't because He brought you to a place of repentance where you poured your heart out to Him and responded to His love that was brought forth at Calvary, hey, it isn't worth much of anything then. We love Him because He first loved us. We love Him because He is our Savior. There's where the power is. That's what does it. And there are a lot of people that go to church for the wrong reasons. And their church becomes corrupted very quickly. No, there has to... You know, to have church, you have to have godly sorrow working repentance. You have to have the true Word of God preached that drives out the evil spirits, that brings people to the Lord, that brings them to their knees, crying out to God. Don't you love to see it when a sinner comes to repentance? And the tears flow down their eyes and they're reaching out. You see God touching them. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. You know, recently we had that happen with a man who, he works nights at the prison up in the tower there, but when I talked to him about the Lord, he had tears filling his eyes. He was really reaching out to God. I saw that man really and truly repent. And we baptized him in Jesus' name, and he's excited. Amen. It was a glorious thing. Did you ever see a grown man cry? It can be a beautiful thing when it's because the Lord's touched him. We never want to get so hard-hearted that our heart can't be broken by the Lord. Because God is nigh unto those that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The Lord will help us. He's a very present help in trouble. Amen. And He said unto them, let us go. Notice they said, all men seek for Thee. And He said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. In other words, I can't confine this ministry to one spot. We need to go elsewhere. This gospel must be published. The gospel of the kingdom must go forth. Nobody has a local franchise on it. Isn't that great? Wherever people repent and seek God, He'll be found. Isn't that great? You know, some of these churches, you know, they feel like if you're not a member of that church, you won't go to heaven. It's like the story about this guy gets up to heaven and people are rejoicing and so forth, and he looks way, way, way off in the distance. And he sees this group of people in the way yonder over there, all by themselves. And they're over there and they're trying to worship and so forth, but they weren't with anybody else. And the question was asked, who are those people? What's going on with that? And the answer was given, oh, that's the UPC, United Pentecostal Church. I think they're the only ones here. Well, that could be said of a lot of different ones. But there are people that think, hey, you know, we're the only ones here. We're the only ones going to be there. If you don't believe it like we believe it, you won't be there. Hey, the Lord has no denominations in His kingdom. No divisions. None. And the way we're saved is not through a church. We're saved directly by Jesus Christ. By His touch. When the Lord saves you, it's a very personal... Nothing could be more personal than that. It doesn't come through a minister. It doesn't come through a denomination. It's God in heaven reaching down to touch you personally. And to call you out. Isn't that exciting? That the Lord would even think on us? But He does. And that's what makes for a powerful Christian. When we realize that, and that moves us, that God would even think of us and then call us and clean us up and set us on the right path and then instruct us through His Word. That's awesome. It really is. And so he said, we need to go to these other cities, these other towns. He said, for therefore came I forth. Remember this, that every step Jesus took was ordered in heaven. Did you know that? Behold, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. You can read about it in Hebrews. If a righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord, then how about Jesus? Every step he took, every place he went, was right on schedule. See, God's never late. You might think he is, because you didn't get your answer when you wanted it or the way that you wanted it, but God is never late. He's always precisely on time. And sometimes he will bring forth conditions so that we seek him. You know why? Not that he's reluctant to help you, but he brings us into that place where we have to seek him because it's good for us to seek him. A lot of other wonderful things happen to you while you're seeking him. Amen. He shows you so many, many things. You know, I try not to use a concordance any more than I have to. I try to go by memory and by the leading of the Spirit of God. So I find that, okay, I need to... Sometimes I just open the Bible right to the verse that I feel the Lord's telling me. A lot of times that happens. Other times, I look, oh, I thought it was there. No, it's not there. Where is it? And I think, I meditate, I ask the Lord, now where is that verse that I'm looking for? And I start looking a few other places. And finally I come to it. Never fails. But I'll tell you, the trip along the way while I'm finding that verse brings me to a lot of other riches. Amen. And sometimes the Lord has given me a verse that ends up being the last verse I use in a Bible study. And then he takes me to that point with a lot of other verses and gives me the whole Bible study. Not what I'm going to say, but the verses I'm going to use. And it's an amazing thing to me. I marvel at it. God is so personal to us. Amen. Now, so Jesus said we're going to these other towns. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Notice, where did he go to preach? In the synagogues. Try it sometime. Find a Friday night somewhere and go over to Temple Beth Israel or one of these places and try to preach Jesus Christ and see what happens. I'll tell you what will happen. Synagogues, some people are going to get letters on this, as sure as I'm standing here. It's amazing to me, but how people can react and think that a physical people are a chosen race just because they have certain chromosomes and they descended from this person or that person. I don't care who you are, what your pedigree is. We're saved by grace, not by race. The synagogues were full of demons. That's why Jesus went there and cast them out. You know, I had a situation one time where, actually, Carol, your father, when he was in the hospital in Fond du Lac, and I was praying for him, and of course, a lot of his life growing up in that Netherland Reformed Church, he was so uncertain. He just, you know, God is a powerful God and this, and he couldn't really feel the love of God. So the Lord was directing me to minister to him, and I was preaching to him right in the hospital room about the love of God. And I finally got him to the point where I said, now, do you believe in the love of God? And the man completely changed. It was just a matter of, what was it, a couple of days later he was gone. Went to his reward. But you know, when I talked to him, I could feel the love of God working, and he could too. And I really rejoiced in that. But what happened, I was telling him all about the Lord's mercy and grace and his love, and that he's not a mean God. He's not an angry God that's out to get you and all this. I wanted him to understand it, and he did. And I prayed for him, and I worked on that. Well, I didn't know it, but in the next bed over, because he had a double room, they had a curtain drawn, there was a rabbi, Jewish rabbi, All right? He was from Fond du Lac. And he had just had surgery, and he was in bed, and he was listening to me tell Bill about all the great things the Lord Jesus had done. And he started sputtering. And he said, "That isn't true." And I was coming from the other side of the curtain. It was none of his business, you know. If he didn't want to reject it, okay. And I kept going and kept going. And he was spitting and sputtering. And he was so... You could see these demons just manifesting. Because he didn't believe in Jesus Christ. And he got up and he started... He had fresh stitches. And he started for the door. He was going to get out of there. And a nurse came in. He must have had him hooked on one of these chains, you know. She said, "Oh, Rabbi, you can't get out of bed. You know... You got to stay." "Oh, I'm not going to listen to that." You know, and he was so upset. You know, I happen to mention that like I'm mentioning it now in a message. And one man got that message through the mail, had ordered that particular, it was a tape at the time, this was a number of years ago. And he wrote and said, "I don't want anything to do with your ministry. How dare you talk about Jesus in front of a Jew?" And he had been contributing about $100 a month, you know, and to the ministry. "I don't care, you know. I don't do anything. If somebody gives to the ministry, fine and dandy. But I don't bend for anybody. And I'm going to preach the gospel." Well, I was on the phone one time with Tex Mars. And we don't see eye to eye on everything. But I was talking to him. He called me because he wanted me to interpret some symbols for him. And he said he had been to an Assembly of God church. They asked him to speak. This is a... probably 8 years ago. And he got up in the Assembly of God church and he started speaking about Jesus, the Savior and all that. And down in the front row in this Assembly of God or semi-godly church, whatever you want to call it, there were four rabbis there. And the pastor came up to him as soon as he was through speaking. He noticed the pastor of that church, Assembly of God pastor, was fidgeting around and couldn't sit still. And he went up to Tex Mars and said, "How dare you talk about Jesus with those four rabbis here? These are the chosen people," he said. "You can't offend them." Chosen on what basis? Because they came from a certain seed, you know? Hey, the promise that the Bible makes to Abraham was to Abraham and his seed. Singular. That's Jesus. All the promises of God were made to Abraham and Jesus. In Jesus, we receive the promises. If you don't receive Jesus, you don't have any promises. There is no old covenant anymore. It's gone. It's done away with because the Bible says it is decayed and ready to vanish away. Hebrews 8:13, right? But oh, people can get so mad because they're so delusional. They want to be Jews. Jews should want to be Christians. Now, I guarantee you, I will get letters. I will get email. People are going to be steamed about this. Because that is a spirit. You know, they want to set up a menorah for Hanukkah. They want to walk around with a six-pointed star on, which, by the way, is the most powerful symbol in witchcraft. Even a lot of rabbis won't use it or denounce it. Did you know that? Many of the rabbis and Lubavitchers, which is a high rabbi, high leader, they denounce that six-pointed star. It's called the Crest of Solomon. David never saw it. Solomon devised that through demonic geometry when he was building all the temples for his wives. He had a lot of wives, you know. 250 of them and 750 concubines. Now, if that isn't going to cause any trouble, what would? Boy, 1,000 women to come home to. 1,000! Woo! Talk about asking for trouble. I've heard of four fathers, but... One man said, "I don't have four fathers. If I did, three of them didn't come home nights, you know." But 1,000 women? Well, anyway, they started crying and blubbering and tears running down their face. Oh, Solomon, build me a temple for Chemosh, or build me a temple for whatever. And, you know, okay, dear, you know, I'd get her off. I got lots of money anyway, you know. I'm rolling in gold here, so I'll build you a temple. Building temples all over the place. Up in the groves and so forth, putting up Christmas trees, Baal bushes, you know. They did it. They'd go out and they'd cut a tree down, haul it in the house, decorate it with silver and gold. Now, they didn't have electricity in those days, so they didn't have any Baalzebub bulbs. But they haul this thing in and set it up. Nobody would do that nowadays, would they? In this enlightened society, who would do such a thing? I don't even know what those things cost these days. They used to be $4 or $5. I think they're probably 75 to 100, some of them now. And then, you know, after a few days, they go out to the curb, you know, throw them out. You know, people do a lot of things that make no sense. Where else would you find a people who will sit around in front of a dead tree eating candy out of a sock? Huh? I mean, this is just plain odd. But they'll do it every time. They might be broke. They might have lost their job, but they'll go out there and string those lights. Why? There is a spirit behind it. There is a spirit at work. They'll go out there and sing, Noel, 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 Noel. What is God's official title? El. El Shaddai. Elohim. Plural noun, right? El. So they're out there singing, No God, no God, no God, no God. Born as the King of Israel. But there's no God. That's the Antichrist. All right? They're singing about the Antichrist. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. Isn't that right? Hey, look at some of those songs they're singing. They got money for what they want to have money for. And it's a very spiritual thing, but it's all of Satan. Now I'll get some more letters about that. You ought to see the mail. I got this letter opener. I zip it open and smoke comes out. How dare you? What are you anyway? I had people say, you don't celebrate Christmas? What's the matter? Aren't you a Christian? And I send them a little note back saying, no, because I am, I don't celebrate it. Because the Bible says, this book says, don't do it. And there's a lot more could be said and will be, I guess, as we approach the time. But it's madness. You go down the street and some of these people must spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars on all those decorations and lights. Wow. Anyway. So, Jesus went from city to city, went into the synagogues, cast out devils, and there came a leper to him. Leprosy is a horrible, incurable disease. It was back then. Nowadays they've got things they try to use on it. But incidentally, did you know that there are fairly substantial pockets of leprosy in the United States ever since the Hispanic people have come over the border? Over in New England, there are hundreds and hundreds of people that have leprosy. See, when the illegal aliens come in sick because they don't have to, you know, check in with what diseases that they've got. They can bring them all in, you know. I read that in a mainstream news source. They don't play it up very big, though. As a matter of fact, Barack Obama's determined to bring in a lot more people from overseas. He claims that, well, Bill Gates requested that we bring in thousands and even tens of thousands of people from India and China, because they have the skill to run computer systems and people over here don't. Well, how about training them? What are we cranking out of our public schools anyway? Remember the Wizard of Oz? What did that hoodoo of a wizard say? I can't give you a brain, but I can give you a diploma. Right? Is there anything to that? Oh, sure, they just advanced them through the chairs. They come to graduation, and they were doing a survey in Milwaukee here just before the election, asking people out on the street basic questions. What is the capital of the United States? The majority of them didn't know that it was Washington, D.C. Who was defeated at the Alamo? The Germans. You know, I listened and I thought, huh? What's going on here? They asked in the senior high school class, they asked the question, where is the Pacific Ocean? 7 out of 10 people didn't know. What school was it? San Francisco High School. They walk around and you look at them, you think, now they must have a brain. They got 2 eyes, they got ears, they got arms, they got legs. They're human beings, they're walking around, they must know something. And they're as dumb as a post. That's what our schools have done. And how much does it cost to educate? I have to strain to say the word. We are spending $10,000 per year per child going through the grades of our schools. Hey, somebody's getting ripped off. And these teachers don't care, for the most part. It's a job for them. Crank them out. Get them through. That's why they came up with this abstract mathematics, you know. How much is 3 and 5? 7, you say? Well, that's close enough. Because they told them, don't make them feel bad. You'll bruise their ego. So just get close, you know, approximate. Hey, how would you like those guys running some kind of a system? How would you like to put them in charge of sending up the space shuttle? You might shoot those guys up there. You never see them again. Well, that kind of a lack of precision. But you can't bruise their ego. No matter what their answer is, oh, that's wonderful. This is great. Oh, you're a good student. Huh? I say flunk them. Until they get rid of the video games and get rid of the punk rock music and start applying themselves and get in the books. Of course, you know how the parents are these days. These parents are the ones who grew up in this mess. And who's running the corporations? Who's in charge of the government? You look at Barack Obama in his mid-40s, same age as Hitler when he took power. And of course, Obama admitted that he used marijuana on a regular basis, cocaine on a regular basis. He's read every one of the Harry Potter books. He's got time for that. But he's going to govern. Just so we know what we're up against here. Isn't it something when you know the truth and you can make sense and you have to apply it to a nonsensical world out there? You wonder sometimes, where do I begin with this mess? But that's what we're facing in these last days. Complete spiritual and mental incompetence. And those are the kind of people who can be led. Those are the kind of people who can be enslaved. When they can't think for themselves, when they can't carry on a thought, they have to be totally dependent. And what I always used to say was the big white massa in Washington, but now it isn't a white massa anymore. Now I'll get another letter from somebody. Oh, you racist. Hey, race has nothing to do with this. When I talk about the big white massa in Washington, I'm talking about a governing power that takes your liberty from you and makes slaves out of you. That when you get your paycheck, it's got teeth marks all over it. Because they took this out and took that out, and there's a big part of you, a big percentage of you that is slave. Some of you is free, of course, with Obama in there. He's bound, determined to make you a slave under a new socialism. As Prime Minister Gordon Brown of Great Britain said, he stood there with a uniform on with a lot of red decorations on it. I saw a picture of this in the Daily Telegraph, London Daily Telegraph. And he said, we're all socialists now, comrade? Remember the days of the commissars? Remember that terminology? They haven't talked about that much anymore because there are still some people around that are old enough to remember what that was. Where is communism today? Right here. You look at Gorbachev. Remember Gorbachev? Mikhail Gorbachev? I went over to his office one time at the Presidio. See, when he left Russia, we gave him a job, I should say the Illuminati, over there right next door to FEMA at the Presidio in San Francisco. So I went over there and I was praying in front of his office. My wife was with me. We were just rebuking the whole thing. And as soon as we left San Francisco, there was a big earthquake. And then his wife died and all kinds of things started happening. But you know, with Mikhail Gorbachev, he had this job given to him called he was the head of the State of the World Forum, which is an internationalist elitist society geared to bring forth a one-world socialistic communistic government in the United States. Now he's contacted Barack Obama and said, what you need to do is implement perestroika. Remember perestroika? Glasnost? Some of these Russian words. Perestroika is a Russian word that means restructuring. So here is the former communist leader, Mikhail Gorbachev, telling Barack Obama he needs to take the Russian system of perestroika and apply it here in the United States. Why can't people see what's going on? It's like my old chemistry teacher used to say, you buy them books and you buy them books. You know, he'd ask questions and students would come up with the wrong answer, some stupid answer. I never forget old Vern Rasmussen. I got along pretty well with him. In fact, when I took the entrance test, I had to know all of the whole periodic table, the valences and everything. And I kept coming up with two wrong answers. You had to get them all right. Mendeleev's table, he was a very strict teacher. And I kept coming up with two wrong, different ones. And I knew them. It was the weirdest thing. And he said, you know, I shouldn't let you in this class, but I will. I don't even know why I'm doing it. And by the time we were through with that year, I had written one of the only two perfect papers in organic chemistry in the final test. And he signed my picture in a yearbook. Congratulations to a fine chem student. You know, I had to work my way through that. He didn't like me at first. And we got to be very, very good friends. But he used to walk around the classroom and he'd get some student talking. He liked to talk about hunting and so forth, fishing. And he'd get these students talking about hunting and fishing stories. And then, you know, blowing up these, oh, I got one that big kind of thing. And then he'd have this giant picture, postcard of a manure spreader. He'd hold it up and point to the kid, you know. This kind of guy he was. But anyway, but I remember he always used to say, you buy them books and you buy them books. And what do? Tear out the pages and eat the covers. You know, like a bunch of chimpanzees, you know. So that always bothered him. But yeah, this what's going on in this country is absolutely astounding and not good. So Jesus did go into the synagogues. He cast out devils. And now in verse 40, it talks about this leper. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? What do some of these evangelists today say? God has to do it. Hey, God doesn't have to do anything. And God doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't need us. We need Him. But this is a prayer that worked. Notice the ingredients in it. Kneeling down to Him. How many people ever kneel anymore before the Lord? A sign of submission. Nowadays in a lot of these churches they say, well, you don't want to wrinkle the crease in your trousers, do you? Oh, yes, you do. Saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. You see, here's the thing about this. It's not hard to believe God can heal you and God can help you. It's not hard for me to believe, and it shouldn't be hard for you to believe, that He has all power. Look what He created. Look at the stars once these clouds clear out of here. Huh. I was driving to Madison this morning. It was thick. I looked ahead and it was so dark. Just a very, very thick layer of clouds. Once they move out, you can look at the stars and see the handiwork of God. Well, you can see those in the clouds too. But it's not hard to believe that God is able to do it. But we have to graduate past that to where we believe He will. See, that's where faith comes in. You can know by knowledge, because God is showing it. Look at the flowers, look at the birds, look at the trees. You know, if you have knowledge of that, you can know that God created the world. But you have to go beyond knowledge into the realm of faith to believe that He will do it. And there's so much power in faith. And He will. If thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. What does that tell me? We must humble ourselves before God, and then He will touch us. Don't make demands on the Lord. Humility. There's such power in it. You know, the thing about humility is this, when it's genuine, the devil can't use it. The devil doesn't know what to do with humility. He's a creature of pride. When you stay humble before God, truly humble, the devil can't use you. It frustrates him. But when you walk around with your nose in the air, oh, yes, I'm a child of God. Yeah, I'm this, I'm that. Hey, now you've got a different spirit manifesting. Yes, we're children of God by grace. Unmerited favor. Undeserved love. Right? Who can get up and say, I deserve good things from God? Who would get up and say, God, give me what I deserve? Well, we can order the flowers tomorrow and the box to put you in. No, we wouldn't say that. You know, the Pharisee and the Republican, or pardon me, Pharisee and the publican came into the temple. And that Pharisee was bragging, and oh, what a resume he had. I do this, and I do that, and I pay my tithe. I fast twice a week. And the publican couldn't even look up. He smote his breast, said, God, have mercy on me, a poor, miserable sinner. Jesus said, that's the man who went away justified. You know, when there's humility, God's Spirit flows through humility. It's really an awesome thing. Humility says God is so great. And you know, you get to the point where, well, it's kind of like this. If you look at the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, it lists 9 of them. And they're powerful. But it lists wisdom and knowledge. Those operate through your mind by the Spirit of God. Yes, but through your mind. But then you graduate beyond wisdom and knowledge to a gift called faith. And that doesn't need your brain at all. Faith is simply believing God. It goes beyond wisdom and beyond knowledge. And faith begins to operate and the power of God begins to be manifested. Isn't that awesome? All right? So the Word of God tells us this leper thus spoke to him. And Jesus, moved with compassion. Do you think Jesus is still moved with compassion? Of course. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. When you're in trouble and you truly reach out to Him, He's moved with compassion. And put forth His hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will. Oh, to hear God say, I will. Be thou clean. And as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Isn't that an amazing thing? And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now you got to understand something here. There was a priesthood in the days of Jesus. Now Jesus was the true high priest. But there was still a high priest. There was a temple. There were other priests. Remember when Jesus stood before the high priest? And that high priest said, I adjure you by the Most High God, tell us if thou art the Christ. When Jesus told him, that high priest took his garment and ripped it. Now you go back into Leviticus, and it'll tell you about that garment, how it was double stitched, because it was never to be ripped. If it were ripped, the priesthood would immediately end. That border around the neck of the garment was double stitched. It was hard to tear. Here was Jesus standing there in front of the high priest. That high priest took that garment and he was so angered he ripped it. But what about the garment Jesus wore, woven without seam? That remained. And when they put him on the cross, ordinarily the Romans would have divided that up, but they didn't. They cast lots for his vesture. Why? That was the true garment of the true high priest, Jesus Christ. And it was not ripped. That old priesthood was forever gone. The garment was violated. The priest was no more. Jesus stood as the true high priest. It's an awesome thing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Now, what Jesus did is he said, go and show thyself to the priest. Do you realize how long it must have been? Because God made provision in the Old Testament. If you're healed of leprosy, go and show thyself to the priest. And there was a sequence of things that you had to do to show you were healed. God made provision for that in the Old Covenant. Isn't that an awesome thing? But the synagogues were so apostate, Satan was so in charge, that they didn't even recognize Jesus when he came. He came to his own received him not. Remember? And so there it was, really an apostate synagogue that rejected the Savior. And so they hadn't seen a healing. They had never seen a healing. Now all of a sudden here comes a man that was known to be a leper. And he came to the high priest and said, I'm here according to what is written back in the book of Leviticus. I've been cleansed. Here's my offering and so forth. And those priests were astounded that anybody could be healed. You know, back in 1972, the Southern Baptist Convention, all the ministers, got together in a meeting. And they voted as to whether or not there was still divine healing by God. And they voted God down. They said, God doesn't heal anymore. Here is a bunch of lame-brained ministers. 25% of them Freemasons, at least. And they said, God doesn't heal anymore. They voted on it. Isn't that terrible? Back in 1972, it was, thereabouts. I wouldn't want to be in that church or in that position for anything. If I was sitting in a church like that and they told me that, I'd be a mile down the road before the door shut. All you'd see is the heels of my shoes and my two elbows going down the street. He does heal! And Jesus said, you go and show yourself to the priest as a testimony for them. Let them see there is a God in Israel. God does heal. I'm here tonight by faith. Amen? I'm telling you, how could I do this? And I waited until 20 minutes to 7 because I couldn't get out of bed. And I thought, all right, I've got a job to do tonight. And I'm not sick with anything contagious. It was that poisoning that was going through my system. It's only been 2 days so far. It'll wash through. The Lord will help me. But I got up and I thought, oh, can I do this? And I, by faith, I went over to my parrot, Professor Muggsy. Said, Professor, you better pray for me because I feel awful, but I'm going in. And we're going to get this job done. And he made some kind of a little comment. The bird does, he does say, Professor, pray sometimes. He'll say that. Amen. So the Lord has helped me to do it. I think if I hadn't told you what I told you, you might not have even known that I was having a problem. But praise the Lord. Keep me in prayer. God heals. I don't know what somebody might try next. You know, I don't know. But I'm going to watch my back. I'll tell you that. Verse 45 says, but he went out and began to publish it much. Well, you know, he was a leper. He was excited. The Lord told him not to make a lot of noise about it because then it would allow Jesus to work more freely among the people instead of being thronged. And to blaze abroad the matter insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Isn't that great? Well, that's chapter 1 of Mark. The Lord willing, next Wednesday we'll do chapter 2. But isn't it an amazing thing that all these things that we learn are in this chapter somewhere? That we can just know the Lord. You know, I wouldn't want to be in a denomination where they send canned sermons that somebody wrote somewhere. I like everything fresh from heaven. Don't you? Amen. So we have two baptisms tonight, and we're going to have our dear, beloved friends from West Virginia get ready right now. There are robes downstairs if somebody wants to direct them. They can get changed. We're going to ask Duane to find a song while we wait. We're so glad they're here. They came a long ways, and the Lord made a way for them. So we're excited about that. I'm going to just have Duane come on up and lead us in a few songs right now. And I want to close with a prayer, though, first, for the teaching part of this. Father in heaven, we are so thankful, Lord, for thy message, for the Word of God. We thank thee, Lord, that we could learn of thee. And now we thank thee for these baptisms in thy name. Let thy blessing be upon them, Lord. Let thy power come down. Let thy name be exalted and glorified, O God. And I pray that thou wouldst do a wondrous work here and strengthen all of us as we walk with thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen.